Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Have you ever felt a cool summer breeze? Yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show, Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show guides the listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on leadership skills for children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. With that, I bring you the hosts, producer of the night show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark. How are you today?
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam. And I'm doing just fine, alhamdulillah. And to our IWDM radio listening audience, as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, hir Rabbi alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعْدُ. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen and Rashid Salam of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And we'd like to welcome our radio listening audience tonight, and especially those who are listening in and tuning in for the first time. We want you to bring an open heart and an open mind to this learning lab. And the only tools that you need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because we believe there will be some noteworthy things that can and will be said tonight. And we also invite you to ask questions or to make comments or add to the communication, the information tonight, or if it's just resonating with you. And we're aware of the fact that many of you tune in and listen in by way of the internet. We would love for you to be a part of tonight's conversation and communication. And for to do that, you have to dial into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And all you have to do is press 1, and Rashid Salam will alert me that you got your hand in the air, that you have a question or comment, or you just want to share what has resonated with you tonight from this learning lab. We also want you to know that this learning lab has a foundation at the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It is the same foundation. We have three sources that we utilize for dissemination of information and education. The first source is Al-Quran. That's the final revelation for all of humanity. The second source that we use is a life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And the third source is the tafsir, which simply means the clear explanation by scholarly teacher and leader Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad in regards to the Quran and the life example of the prophet. Three components that are vital sources. They comprise the foundation for the dissemination of information and education here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we want you to know also, going all the way back to January of 2017, we have established some very key things that comprise this learning lab in terms of looking and defining and giving a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say parenting is the process of not only cultivating and nurturing the physical aspect, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, and at this time we want to dismiss the misnomer, the misconception and misperception that many have that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother only. No, it is both the responsibility of the mother and the father. These vital components, they comprise the holistic human being, and these components must be nurtured and cultivated by both parents. Also, another staple here that has been established is that the responsibility of both parents is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost in themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say, inshallah, which means God willing, that conscious regard for parents, knowing and understanding their role and responsibility and obligation and commitment to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking from this way of thinking and the disposition as parents. Also, another staple and very important staple is the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means Allah, the perfect, the most high, and above any mistakes or errors or shortcomings. He is the teacher for his human creation. After that life is birthed into earth, he's given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and also the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that she would be the first to give that foundational knowledge, not only to our baby girls, but also to our baby boys. And with that being said, it's kind of customary, or tradition has been established, as we don't have Dr. Patricia Saladin, to give a little overview, if you will, in terms of what transpired last week here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Well, you know, last week we introduced a Quranic term here last week called Muhasaba. Muhasaba is actually in terms of, in the Quran, letting us know in terms of the importance of assessing ourselves, evaluating ourselves as human beings. And it is actually in Surah 59, Ayah 18, that this was homework for those who tuned in last week, to go in to read that Ayah 59, 18. Because when we talk about self-search, we want to be very clear here. You know, to really search for yourself, how and why do we need to do that? Because we are Allah's creation. We are God's creation. Now, there's a self that we acknowledge, but that self has been socialized and acculturation has impacted or influenced that self. It may have influenced that self in a good way, or the socialization or acculturation may have influenced it in a bad way. But it is Allah in true scripture that gives us a true picture in terms of what that self should look like. So when we're doing self-search, we should go to the one that has created everything and has given revelation in terms of the human being, in terms of who that human being is that has been created by him. And so when we look at 59:18, Allah begins that ayat, that instructing sign, by saying, O you who believe, first and foremost, we should see ourselves as believers. And then he says, who are consciously regardful of him. Now, this is very, very important because we know that taqwa, which is an Islamic terminology, means being God conscious. Okay, so when we search for self, we have to ask ourselves, are we God conscious? You see, or you who believe, be conscious, regardful of your Lord. You know, have taqwa. And Allah goes on to say, who gives you your provisions. That's very important. Allah is our Razak. He's the provider. He gives you provisions. And also, Allah is also saying to us, those who send on ahead of themselves in terms of their deeds, the only thing that will precede us in our transitioning are the deeds that we actually do. You judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, but you judge a man by his deeds, or a human, we want to say, because we don't want you to think we're just talking about the gender in terms of men. A human by their deeds. And then it says, it repeats again, and be conscious, regardful of Allah, for he knows all it is that we do. And that is in Arabic, he is Al-Alim. He's all-knowing. So you can't get anything by Allah and all. So this helps us, and this helps us in terms of self-search, being a consciously guardful servant of Allah, knowing that He gives us our provisions, but also knows, you know, in terms of the deeds that we sin, because the deeds that we do, they're all being recorded, and they precede us, those things that we do, good or bad. Very, very important. And so muhasabah is in terms of really, really assessing ourselves, but assessing ourselves in terms of our taqwa. You know, and sometimes the taqwa falls off. And the assessment has to be, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not as conscious regardful of myself as I should be. So tonight, we're going to talk about, you know, Rashid, we're going to talk about, you know, what the authors, the Bashir's excellent publication that we use as a resource here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in Chapter 1. We're going to through it a little bit more thorough and detail this time. Parenting skills based on the Quran and the life example of the Prophet, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and all, and looking at what wise people do. You know, when we have to be God conscious and have to should remain in that state of God conscious, then oftentimes people may say, well, what about your life in terms of having a balance in your life and all? And the type of person that we are, we actually wear different hats, and one of those hats is actually being a parent. So one of the first things that the authors are saying in terms of a wise person is that that person should make supplication to their Lord. Now, why is this so important? And when we say supplication to the Lord, we know that Muslims, we have the obligatory prayers. They call fard prayers, obligatory prayers, five prayers a day. But the supplication is dua that we have. And this dua that we have is asking or requesting, pleading, begging Allah for what it is that we actually need. You know, Rashid, when we think about our Christian brothers and sisters and even our family, we've heard many du'as over our lifetime, and we didn't classify them as du'as. This was an Islamic term that we got to know in recent years. But a du'a is any prayer where you're requesting or you're asking humbly. You know, so yes, don't get it twisted, as the young people say, because oftentimes we hear our Christian brothers and sisters, they call themselves making dua and praying to God. They say, right now, Lord, right now. No, no. we don't do that. We don't say right now. You understand? Because we say Allah is Alim, He's all-knowing, He's Al-Hakim, He's all-wise. And so He knows, you understand, when and how and where, you understand, to actually answer our du'as. And Allah says in the Quran, He answers the prayer of every supplicant. So, you know, Rashid, you know, when we look at in terms of this balancing, it should be divided up, a wise person, four parts, and I'll just give that right now in terms of first making regular supplication to our Lord and Creator. And then the second thing that we want to do today is constantly evaluate and assess ourselves. You know, constantly evaluate and assess ourselves. You know, we just read from the Quran in terms of Allah telling the believer to be conscious, regardful of Him. and the third thing it is to reflect on God's creation, reflect on God's natural creation. This is going to produce something inside of you in terms of the gratitude that we should have. Also, the humility and awe that it is that we should have, and the thankfulness and the praise belonging to God. And then the fourth part, because you have to work, you have to earn a living. So those four things comprise the things that as a wise person that we would do, but it helps to bring about a balance. So, Rashid, you know, when we think about the supplications that it is that we should have, we always start with that in terms of summoning Allah to be in our life, to be a partner, a managing partner in our life, and it brings about a certain humility of the supplicant in terms of asking and requesting something from Allah. And I remember Imam Muhammad, one of his favorite du'as was, "Oh Allah, I cannot manage this life of mine, not by myself, not on my own, not without you. So please, Allah, make my life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be, and oh Allah, do not allow me to act on my own, but help me to act only in obedience to you." You can't get any more humble than that. And what a beautiful, beautiful dua that is. Rashid Salam, welcome as our co-host tonight here on this. Give us some insight in terms of how you see that in terms of being a wise person. And I think that, you know, foolish people, they forget to make dua to God.
Assalamu alaikum, Mark. This is here. You know, I tell you, as you were talking, all the key points I was going to cover tonight, you kind of hit on a lot of them, you know. But so we have to go into detail, because sometimes words, we have perceptions and misconceptions of what words really mean. And as you were talking, it just took me back on the precarious situation that our group of people are in. Matter of fact, the world is in right now, and correcting some serious problems in our psychology, you know, and serious problems in our education and our economics and our family life, but more importantly in our religious thinking. You know, when you start talking about supplication, this world has created such a devious mindset for the average person in this country, and you know how it's affected us, because we've gone through extreme opposition to be human. You know, one of the goals that I always remember, and I never forget this particular statement that was made by the senator back in 1732 when we were African Americans. And I know we talk about human beings, but we have to address ourselves, because no other person has been treated like us. When this man spoke to his constituents in Congress, he said, "We have almost eliminated any possibility that knowledge can enter the slave's mind. If we can exhaust this one part of them, we will be safe, and they will be like beasts of the field." Mark, that statement is so historical, so generational, so deep, that they really have carried out exactly what they set out to do. When you take a man away from being a human being, not allowing him to think, not allowing him to get education, not putting him in situations of extreme poverty, you know, and then using laws and rules and regulations against them, it has effect on our psychology. So when we start talking about supplication in all the types of religions and all the types of things that we've gone through, the stress and the pain of trauma on our thinking process, they did a master surgery on our thinking process, Mark. And as we know, in order to be something or think about something, all we are is a culmination of our life experiences. So if our lives have never been affected with proper, you know, understanding of what a man is, what is a human being? Are you being human? We don't even think about those things. I think generationally, I think historically, still carrying that burden of that particular trauma, not looking into the science of who we are. So when you start talking about supplication, you got to have a good relationship with God. And, you know, when they give you an image of God in the Christian church, here's a European stringy-haired person, you know, nailed to a cross. But that's your image of the Creator. So how do you worship properly? So this book This book that we have been given, we started talking about taqwa, and God gave us the regardfulness of how to think, the provisions that we need. And so you have to know how to go to the right information, meaning that you have to be able to think a little bit differently. So a new people and a new mind has to be established. And that is why we do this show, to let you know that you got to take a look in the mirror every day. You know, what are you thinking of this? What are the algorithms going through your brain? What are the ways of this world that we live in? What are they doing? And I'll end it with this one statement that George Washington Carver said long, long time ago, but he said, get back to nature, you know, evaluating yourself, reflecting. He said, if you want to talk to God, just wake up early in the morning. Remind us one of our prayers, right?
And yes.
Just look up at universe, and the microphone is open for your communication to take place. You know, I'll leave it with that.
Allahu Akbar. I said takbir, Allahu Akbar. For those who don't know, takbir means glorify God, glorify Allah, glorify God, the creator. As George Washington Carver referred to God as Mr. Creator. And I want to just say God is greater, bigger, and more important than anything that we can imagine, anything that we can really know. And Allah is so gracious to us and favored us with the intellect to be able to know something about Him. And we should ever praise Allah, the perfect praise in terms of that, and be thankful and grateful. I just want to just say this, is that, you know, when we look at that, that's so very, very important. Thicker Allahu Akbar, God is greater or greatest, as Imam Muhammad has said, and he said, for what? For getting the best results in our life. So there's no better way, and all through the day. I'm not trying to rhyme, but it's just happening like that. You know, there's no better way all through the day in terms of the remembrance of Allah, knowing that God is greater and bigger and more important than anything we can imagine, and know for getting the best results in our life. So we should always be summoning Allah's aid, assistance, and help. It's a part of being vulnerable, but it's also maintaining and sustaining the humility that we need as an individual. And, of course, in terms of parents, we have to look at not only that, but also in terms of how we work together as teammates, as workmates, even in the sacred institution of marriage, when we actually begin and start a family and begin to raise a family. This takes us to the second thing that was shared in the book, being to evaluate and assess ourselves. Once again, we need a scripture to give us our true picture. So because if we're going to evaluate, you know, Rashid, or assess ourselves, as you so eloquently articulated earlier, in terms of we being a byproduct of our socialization and our acculturation, all of us are. But the question becomes, how far have that socialization, how far have that acculturation that have started in the first social unit, which is a sacred institution of family, that have taken us away from who we really should be in terms of self-search? And so when we say self-search, just turn it around. The search for yourself. The search for yourself. What would that self be? That self would be whom the Creator created you to actually be. And, you know, back in the Nation of Islam, we had a catechism in terms of a question but an already made answer. Who is yourself? Who is yourself? And the answer was simple. Yourself is a righteous Muslim. And so you say, a righteous Muslim, you know, and could you fool a Muslim today? No, not nowadays. The question was asked and then answered. So, you know, being God conscious and Imam Muhammad have said that the Muslim life is the conscious life. It's the conscious life. It is the God conscious life. That is really your true self. That's how you can actually be able to serve the Creator and be able to serve others in terms of your children. There's an obligation, a responsibility that parents actually have in terms of servitude, in serving their families, serving their children, serving their spouses, vice versa. I'm not talking about just women doing that. No, we are talking about the role and responsibilities that we actually have. So self-evaluation and assessment, Rashid, I believe that we have to go to God's word of revelation to really evaluate and assess ourselves, and that becomes the gauge in terms of how we really assess ourselves when it is that we read the final revelation that Almighty God has given to us and know that that's the bar. You're talking about the bar is raised higher. Well, that's the highest bar. And then we have to look at Allah's Rasul, his messenger, in the message that he received, but not only did he receive, but he demonstrated. That becomes the bar for evaluation and assessment. Rashid, I know you have something you'd like to say. And before you do, I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished esteemed co-host tonight, Rashid Salam and Mark Shaheed. And this is part two on self-search. And we're talking about those things that's recommended for a wise person to do and to have a balanced life in all and what it is that we can do each and every day. So please press 1 if you have a question or comment, anything that Rashid Salam or myself may say tonight. We will welcome your questions or your comments, or if what you're hearing tonight, is it resonating with you? Have you ever thought about self-search? How often do you do that? How often should it be done? So you can see where you're at, where you're going, where you've been, what you want to become, where you want to be. All of this here, but when we look at it, we want to see what type of person actually are raising our children up. And that have to be where you have to start with yourself in self-search. Rashid Salam, I know you have some comments on evaluating and assessing ourselves.
Yes, sir. Well, you took it right back to Surah 59:18.
<You know? laughs> And there's something how Allah just can say in a few words, yes, what it is that we should actually be, Rashid, you know.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we're looking for, seem like it's, the problem is so complicated or what, but it's actually very simplistic.
Yes,
but do we hear,
you know,
do we hear and do we obey?
Right. That's the key, Mark. It really is. And when you think about, first of all, we talked about supplication. And the next one is evaluation. Well, between talk, the visions and those types of things and the rebirth that has to take place, we have been given everything we need to provoke thought and action. We have a barometer by which we can judge ourselves by, because he gave it to us in 59:18. It's intended to stimulate in us and improve understanding of who we are and what we are, to make that determination on what that value is in this great destiny that Allah has provided for us, you know, and you just got to go back to 59:18. That's your self-evaluation. That's how you look at yourself. Here are the tools, here's the resource, here are the guidelines given to us by the Creator. And you go back here what the past has already given. God has given us information so many years, generation after generation. Carter G. Woodson said it best. Do you really think you went to school to be educated? No, you went to be trained. You went to be influenced to participate in their world. And here God's telling you in 59:18, well, that's their world. You know, trust me. Believe in what I see now. Who do you believe in? So that evaluation, that's taking place. That is your barometer to look at yourself in a completely different way, to look at yourself in the manner in which the Creator has created you. You know,
that's right.
And historically, we just have to go back and think, wait a minute, how did I get here? You know, boy, I'm still amazed at first. I tell people, listen, one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me was to see my first child born. I sit there and watch it. It just blew me away that egg cell, sperm cell, I got 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 hands, 2 feet, 5 fingers, 5 toes. Wait a minute. When I had that act with my wife, I wasn't thinking about bringing no baby here already put together properly. So we already knew that something was bigger, something was better, and something was greater than who we are. And when you go to Surah 59 and 18 and begin to assess, and you do that self-search, you say, searching for who you are, well, guess what? Who knows better than the one who brought you here? You know, so that's what I said. We have to have that perception and understand that whatever this education was that we went through in this country, whatever this influence is that we continue to go through, guess what? It's not real. It's not human. It's not the humanity that God created for us all to be. So we have to go into that self-evaluation and determine, and here comes the reflection. Well, now we got to reflect. You know, that means you got to read, you got to study, you got to pay attention, and you got to look in that mirror every day, sometimes twice a day. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I got from the part.
No, that's excellent. You said a mouthful. And actually, Rasheed, you really, lead us to the inroads of the third thing in terms of what a wise person would do to keep that balance in their life. And it is said that we should also. Now we're not talking about a foolish person. We're talking about a wise person. So we know that we're talking to some wise people that are listening in here on IWDM Radio to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You know, to really evaluate and assess yourself. You know, you want to be honest with yourself. You know, we have an acronym that we use here in this particular chapter is called research. Research, and I'm going to give you the acronym in a little bit, but Rasheed said a mouthful because he actually set the inroads to the third thing. The third thing is to reflect on Allah's natural creation. How many of us take time to reflect on Allah's natural creation? He was just talking about the birth of his baby. I mean, how many of us, take time to reflect on Allah's natural creation and how beautiful it is, how informational and educational it is, how beneficial it is, how merciful the mercy compassion that we see in Allah's natural creation, you know, and so much of his creation. So do we ever observe that creation? Do we have the right respect and appreciation and gratefulness for that creation and even our own creation to be able to extrapolate from that creation, from the natural world, the natural creation, and to be able to build our world based on what? Where did the thinking come from? Where did thoughts come from? You know, where did it come from? It came from the natural creation, reflecting on that. How important is that? You know, Rasheed, you know, sometimes we just walk around. There are some of us, not all of us, generality is never the reality, but some of us walk around in a daze. Do we not realize that when we read the Quran, the final revelation, the meaning of the ayats, the instructing signs, are referring us back to the big book, as Imam Muhammad referred to it as, in terms of the natural creation? And Allah wants you to always be mindful and regardful and conscious of him, and remind you, you didn't do that.
That's right.
You didn't make that. I did that. and I gave it to you, and I gave you the ability with the akal, the intellect, the mind to be able to look at that, to observe it, to be able to extrapolate the benefit and the mercy in it so that you, family, community, society, human society could benefit from that. How many of us, you understand, take that in consideration in terms of reflection? Talk to us a little bit about that. How important is that? You know, when we are talking about self-search and our relationship to that.
I'll tell you, you gave the magic word, my brother. You said mind. You know, when you talked about the fact that how did we get here? No, we didn't do this. We didn't bring this body into existence. But the intellect, it works with something else. Something's integrated, something's interrelated, something interconnected. And when I read that statement about if we can extinguish this one thing about them, then we would be safe like we'd be safe. What were they trying to do? They were trying to destroy your intellect, destroy your mind.
Yes.
The fact that you know, it's a science of you. You know, I'm not trying to bring up a show, but the science of who you
are. No, I mean, all means.
So remarkable. Our brain lacks the proper nourishment to function properly. And have we ever asked ourselves this one question? How do our bodies function? We walk around with them 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can't even tell each other. You can't even share with your child how your body works. You know, that your heart beats at a certain amount of speed, that your brain needs proper nourishment in order to function right. What nutrition do you really need to function as a human being? So when I ask the question, are you being human, we have to answer that question, Mark. You know, right back again. You got to go right back again to 59:18. You know, reflecting on God. The top system that he put in place to share with us, look at the universe, this big microphone. All you got is just look out here, and you'll get a response back. You know, when you talk to God, you know, he give us back through energy, through waves, through what they call algorithm, whatever it is, that inspiration comes in.
Yeah.
But it has to affect your body, and it has to affect your mind. If your mind is not functioning properly, oh, man.
Yeah.
There go your good behavior. There go your judgment. There goes your analysis. There goes your perception. We have to pay attention to this thing. So here come patience and perseverance. Oh, now we into another situation. I'm going to leave that one alone. Because you got to have that to pay attention to yourself and evaluate yourself, because we're going to make some mistakes. We're all human. But how do you correct those? And the beautiful part about it, if we just look at our children being all the mistakes I made as a parent, our children are here to correct those. If you give it to them, if you put them on the right path, they'll go, hey, dad, hey, mom, I don't think that's right. Now you got a whole conversation going. Now you're all in the crime.
Perception
and thinking in a different way. And both of you are growing in this beautiful world that God has created for us. You know, so that Mark, I'm telling you, we'll be on this program all night, man.
Yeah, I'm really yes, sir, you're hitting the nail on the head. And one of the big words in terms of the P word in terms of patience is in the true love recipe, but it also has quality characteristics that we have to have in terms of actually evaluating and assessing ourselves. We have to be truly sincere, honest, with integrity and transparency when we actually are evaluating and assessing ourselves. You know, so when we make the dua, when we make the supplication, when we assess ourselves, we have to say, but I'm a little short on this. Oh, Allah, please help me to develop more patience in my life, because guess what? You know, when we become parents, it's going to require patience. It's already clocked into the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah has to the end, you understand, that there's a set time that you got to carry this life. if this life is going, it's going to be birth, it's going to be a healthy life and all of that, the patience that she has to endure, even when they call labor pains hit her. The baby is stretching and moving. And sometimes you can actually see the baby move, the movement in her stomach. Look at this. She's moving. He's moving. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it provides discomfort. But the patience, the perseverance and all of that, you know, to guard and protect that life until it's actually delivered. You know, and then the last thing that they have here, which is self-explanatory, you still have a life to live in terms of earning in an honest way your own living. There's a portion of time that has to be taken for that. And this helps to keep the balance, whereas that we don't become extreme, we don't become a holic, not even a workaholic, where we don't remember Allah in our supplications, where we don't take the time to assess and evaluate ourselves. You know, like when you're in school, periodically, I think it's every 10 weeks, and it may still be every 10 weeks, you know, there's an assessment. The report card reporting how you've done for the first 10 weeks.
And then how
you done. You submit review and everything. And it kind of lets you know where you're at. Human beings, as according to what the authors have stated in the book, this is a constant thing, a constant thing. The acronym, for those you might want to take this down, write it down. I think it's really a gold nugget. You know, when you look at the word research, we're talking about self-search. So that R stands for research. You see, re means go back. See, that means you have to go back. You know, because where you're at is, as oftentimes there is an attachment to where you've been. You see, and then you have to look at where you're at, where you want to be. So it's like AB. So AB is where you're at or who you are, or who you want to become. You see? So this is very important. I want to become a parent. Okay? If you want to become a parent, then where are you at as a person, as a human being, as Rashid Salam said earlier? And to be honest, you're a fit human being to be able to actually raise new life. Do you have the equipment? Do you have the knowledge of how to raise new life? See, this is in terms of evaluation. So the research, self-search, is the research. It starts with research. That's the R in the word research. Okay, the E represents evaluation. We just talked about that. Evaluation. So after you research, you want to evaluate who you are right now, okay? And then after you evaluate, then the A in research is acknowledge. It's acknowledge. You have to acknowledge what it is you see after you evaluate. This is a gold nugget, and I didn't give this here. This is actually in the book, Parenting Skills. So you want to evaluate. You want to acknowledge, you see. And then the R is you want to reinforce. What is that you want to reinforce in your life? You want to reinforce those positive things. Those positive. People have positive things about themselves. Positive things about themselves. And then, of course, if you have positive things, you have negative things. And so that C actually represents change. Now, you know, Rashid, before we get to H, which is hang on, you know, one of the most difficult things for a lot of people today is to make change in their life. And, you know, it's a word, Taj, I use this this acronym, choose to have a new growth experience. That's change. Choose to have, that's H-A-A-N, new G, growth experience. However we're going in life, that's how we're growing in life. But going back to the Quran again, 59:18, it says to us who is the self that we are to be. So that means that when we evaluate ourselves, you understand, after the research, then we evaluate ourselves and we acknowledge the positive things but the negative things, then that C represents change. We got to change some of those things. And change is an inside job. It's not an outside job. Rashid, talk about that, if you would, for a couple of minutes, if you would, in terms of how important is change. And I'm thinking about in the Quran when Allah says he will never change a condition in people until they first change something within their soul, within their heart, but it's inwardly. Change is inwardly, and it comes outwardly. It's not something that comes external to the internal. Now, of course, you can have a C moment, a significant emotional event or experience in your life that could wow. turn your life around. But generally speaking, in the natural order of things, it is on the free will, the free choosing of the individual to do that, and then they get God's help. Talk about how important it is to be willing, you notice I'm saying willing, to make the needed and necessary changes in your life.
Well, it's really strange that you said willing, because that's where I was going to go with this. You know, you have to be willing to get the education so you can purify your will. Because the will is the divine representation that God provides for you, because you hold him in high regard, and the conscious will guide you in a proper direction. That's the change that we have to take place, understanding who we are, what we are, and how we function as human beings. And so I'm with you on that, and you just saying all, we must be in tune tonight. We're on the same page, because everything you say is driving to what I'm going to say, so it makes it real fluid, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so having that free will and understanding that free will helps you with your reasoning, you know, helps you understand who you are and what you are. But more importantly, Mark, that's a power, the unique ability for the mind and the flesh to work together that drives you to the truth. That free
yeah.
will, man, it could be damaged, but that free will frees us from the limitations of the things that
mm-hmm.
are going on animalistically in us, the things that have us on the low end of the totem pole thinking we're not about anything. So that is really, really so important to separate that and understand that. So that change, as you say, a significant emotional event, well, something's going to happen to you significantly. And emotions always drive us someplace. So what event is going to take place in your life? That event is you. Understanding
yeah.
you. Understanding 59:18.
You know what? I like the fact that that you haven't dismissed that Aya, that instructing Aya.
Oh,
it takes us right back. See, Allah is the one, he gives us true scripture for our true
yes.
picture. That's what I like to say. Sometimes in terms of being a little poetic, it helps people to remember. You know, you want to see your true picture, then go to true scripture. So what is
mm-hmm.
true scripture? True scripture is the final script, the true. It says scripture, but it's really script true. The true scripture gives you your true picture as to
yes,
who one that has created you. In the natural creation is giving back to you in revelation who you were created to be. But we have to read the Quran. And the word Quran means that which should be read. That which should be read. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So when we read, that is the bread. And that's another thing. that in terms of biblical scripture, they talk about the bread. Imam Muhammad said that means, the B means be read. It's bread, but it's to be read. Man can't live on bread alone.
Right.
So it has to eat to be read. What it has to be read, you understand? And this, you understand, in terms of having a healthy human being, where we talk about not only the physical, that's very important, because if you're not physically healthy, you can't and won't be here. That's serious. So, but we also talking about the emotional being, the moral being, first the moral being, and then the emotional being, and then the rational being, the intellectual being, social being, and the spiritual being. All of those components are very, very important. So we talk about in terms of the health of the individual, in terms of self-search
right.
in terms of searching for ourselves, we have to know the holistic human being. Is, you know, I mean, animals are physical, flesh, but we're more than flesh. There's a moral aspect of the human being. There's an emotional aspect. There is a rational aspect, an intellectual, a social aspect, social beings, rational beings, intellectual being, and a spiritual being. Now, the question has to be asked in terms of how healthy are we? And that last letter in the word research is hang on. And so, Rashid, that just simply means that after we have acknowledged, you understand, the positive things, the negative things, the things that we ought to reinforce, and
right.
the things that that are positive we should reinforce, and those things that we need to change, we need to hang on and not give up. Those things that are beneficial to us, is Allah has given many things to us that we are to hang on to. And, you know, it reminds you of don't let go of the rope.
Right.
That goes back to taqwa again, being God conscious, regard for God's word, will, and way. If you hang on to that, you understand, you won't have a problem or issue. It's only when we let go,
you know,
of that. So believe it or not, Rashid, we have come to the top of the hour. I want to give you 1 minute to sum up in terms of what would you like to leave with the radio listening audience before we proceed to our next production. Rashid?
Well, let me close out in the beginning of 5918, my good brother. You know, the name of the game is to be rulers of our own self, and that consists of so many different components. If we're reading the Quran and we're really truly reading the Quran and also reflecting and evaluating on the universal order of things, going back to our original nature, we are going to be okay. You know, hang on to what God has given us. Utilize what God has given us. As we say, you may read the Quran, but it's the Quran in you. That practice, that goes to, we didn't get to the work. Now, here's the work. It's the Quran in you. It takes work. I'll leave you with that.
Alhamdulillah. Well said. And a great closing remark. And want to say to our regular listening audience, we want to thank those who tune in the first hour here. In terms of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, hopefully you got something from the Learning Lab. You took some good notes, and some beneficial things have come to you by way. I want to thank Rashid Salam for always sitting in each and every Wednesday for Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, the co-host here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we want to ask you, if you would, please stick and stay. Please don't stray away, because we have the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable coming up in a couple of 2-3 minutes here. We want to take a pause for the cause. And so I'm going to ask you once again, stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back. Thank you.
strong. And I know this love will last my whole life long. I'm living in the sunshine of your care. Yours is the greatest love to be found anywhere. You lifted me up out of misery. And you give on me, you give on me elevation. Because of your love, I'm a new me. And I'm gonna be with you.
To the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Shalom ilah ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings to our national and international audience, the greeting that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, and it becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of Assalamu Alaikum. And I want to say, those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday night, know I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed members in our community, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, we have two of our very distinguished, esteemed members in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, that will be representing the Clara. Yes, the Clara that's taking place, and actually it's been a vision for quite a few years now, and it's right at its apex, and I'm so happy to have our dear sister, Fitra Muhammad, who is the founder, executive producer of a program I think has been on for about 7 or 8 years. She can tell you exactly how long that's been happening, to study Al-Islam, and also one of our very learned imam, Alep Sharif, the imam of the Nations Mosque there in Washington, D.C. I'm honored to have both of you here tonight on the MGM Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to both of you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. It's an honor to have both of you tonight and to discuss this project that's been in the working for a few years. And I always like to maximize the minimum, which is always time, and get right to it. You know, it was on my mind, you know, about the Clara, you know, last year, the time to be grateful held there in Washington, D.C. There was a lot of talk about it, even in the touring and all looking at the progress that had been made at that particular point and looking at the projection of its completion and all of that. And I thought it would be befitting to have you on as representatives to inform our community that this platform is designed to keep our community well informed of all the things that's happening in our community, and especially the naysayers that we're not doing enough. Well, yes, we are. And so you can come here to IWDM Radio and other platforms to make sure that you're well informed. So I want to welcome you once again, Imam Tyler Sharif and Fitra Muhammad. And I want to start with we want to look at several things here. First of all, there was a vision. And I'm going to let both of you, you know, interchange as to which one we want to take on that first. But give us something very succinct in terms of the vision and the realization of the vision, and when did this initiation actually occur? Do you want to take that on, Fitra?
No, I'm going to Yes.
Ma'am Talib Sharif, welcome. Assalamu alaikum. And wanted to say to you, I tried to get back with you. I just have to say this. You did an outstanding job. You and your wife, Tahira, did an outstanding job on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and sharing your marriage narratives. Got a lot of great reviews. I want to thank you, my brother. Very, very informational and very educational. Thank you so much and welcome. Imam.
Alhamdulillah, brother Imam Shahid. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're a little low. Get a little closer to your mic if you can. Elevate your voice a little bit better so we want everybody to hear what you have to say, brother Imam.
Yeah, I'm apologizing to the audience right now. I kind of got behind. I had a group that I'm just leaving.
Okay.
From the Citadel Military School that came to the masjid. I just left them. In fact, they just heard about the Clara, too. They got real excited about the history of the Clara and other things as well. And it was a diverse group of students, you know, in that military university. Different grade levels, so they're going to be, you know, they are future leaders, you know, so I definitely wanted to make sure that they understood, you know, about us and our history and about really that their history, too, as Americans well. And alhamdulillah, no, we're very grateful, and it was an honor to be on the program with my wife. She really enjoyed that, she got more attention than I did for once.
Well, that's good. She's deserving, brother Imam. Alhamdulillah. Y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. I think you helped people in terms of our objective, in terms of inspiration and motivation, the sacred institution of marriage. This is what Allah has established. So, you know, anytime we have these longevity is in marriage. We want to actually help and promote that. So you did a great job. So be sure to let her know how much I really, really appreciate it, and our radio listening audience appreciate it. Great reviews. Thank you.
Yes, I will. But we know we're on the shoulders of many that have gone before us, and I'm just so proud of you and the programming and the focus, as you mentioned before, for the oldest institution in human history, being the marriage, and how it's threatened. It's always been threatened, but even more so from other angles today. So thank you also, and congratulations on that program. It's still going on. You're still getting dynamic couples, and they're sharing. And I don't see many things happening like that. And again, you find good, unique programs, like you said, things that are relevant to the community. So we appreciate you, and we thank you, and we applaud what you're doing. We pray Allah bless you with sustained progress and success in this field as well as other things that you're doing.
Alhamdulillah.
So to the listening audience and to yourself, yes, this is really, it's been, I think we started this in 2013, 12 or 13, it has taken different shapes, as we were growing here in D.C., but there's always been a focus. My thing as a leader here, I was really concerned about pioneers, about the elderly, the seniors. In fact, even when I was elected, one of my first questions was, what was the vote of the pioneers and the seniors? That's been a concern of mine. I'm very cognizant that I'm on their shoulders, the legacy, the sacrifices. I kind of grew up in D.C., but I was unaware of a lot of the history. I knew about the individuals, the history that we have now going back to the 1930s. We weren't really focusing on the 1930s. We read about it. We were focusing on the structure that had gone up. And, of course, my mind coming out of the military had me look at the whole piece, because military, they change units all the time, but they always remember where it came from. And that's all part of the history. So I wanted to go back and take the community back to see more of that. And legacy was something that as a leader, a new leader in D.C., I was kind of focused on doing things really to protect the legacy, sustain it, build upon it. Great interest in the pioneers, Some may know Benjamin Muhammad, who was the first, I would say, disciple, the first student, first follower of Elijah Muhammad here in the D.C. area. I used to help take care of them when I was in D.C. With another brother at the time. So I'm just trying to say that kind of, he used to tell me a lot about the history as well. And that kind of sense to be really concerned about them. So I'm saying that to say that when I came, we didn't really have, we hadn't done anything beyond the building that we put up and other things. The community had a lot of history here, that a lot of that has been lost. We came, we had a lot of stores, like in a lot of areas. We had a lot of stores up, a lot of those things down, and we didn't have a whole lot. So I was really focusing on trying to build something. And we had a lot of pioneers that had sacrificed. But I would take some of them home. I would visit them, and where they were living, many of them, it was disturbing to me to know that they had done so much for us, and then they had to live like that. But for them, they're so humble. They sacrificed. They just had a spirit to sacrifice. It didn't bother them to be in some of the place. I mean, it may have, but it just didn't show, because they lived a life that's sacrificing for something in themselves, outside of themselves. But it bothered me. So we were focused on really trying to put up senior housing for the pioneers, specifically to the pioneers. That was something that was really important to us. That was part of the first focus, And we had this property. Our school had pretty much attrition and other things. So it the full-time school pretty much had shut down, and we were struggling to try to get another school. We got a weekend school now. But we had this property. We got several property. Allah bless us to get more. And this was a very big expense. Property was a very big expense. And then we had a lot of people, because this is D.C., people take property, turn it around, put up some condos and other things, and because they make a lot of money. And so a lot of people were approaching us about buying the property that we had in Southeast School was called the Sister Claire Muhammad School. It had been other things, too, in the area. Mm-hmm. Big business was in the area. Culture Center was in the area. Bakery, you know, fish restaurant. A lot of things have been there, but school it was one of the most prominent and one of the most one of the last things that were there. So whatever we did, we wanted to make sure that since the community in D.C. Knew about that school, because I have to say this, Shahid, and also to the audience, that school had a lot of non-Muslims in the school, and the school was really the students were achieving quite a bit and scoring pretty high on the test.
Yes.
At a certain point. So a lot of people had their kids in the school. So it was a very prominent school. So they knew about the area, but besides that, in the area, even though the school wasn't there, we still had property there, and it was in Southeast, which is probably the most marginalized area in the city in terms of, you know, investment and other things. So we were always in the area. We've been in the area for probably almost six decades now, and contributing to people knew us, serving food, lots of food, and those types of things, you know, not just to mention that the school was there and other things we had over the years, but also serving the community with food and doing big projects, backpacks, school supplies. We've been doing that for years in the area. So everybody knew that Muslims, the Muslim community, that property was associated with us. It was associated with giving back to the community. But, you know, the dilemma was it was costing us a lot of money. We had two main buildings there. And, of course, we couldn't maintain them very well, the expenses of trying to maintain. So we had to decide on what we were going to do. And, of course, we were looking at that would be a bigger place. The city at the time was giving a lot of money for senior housing.
Yes.
And so we were thinking about doing something just for the pioneers, particularly the ones I was talking about that were in certain areas, certain apartments and things that they had been there for years. And, in fact, some of them were in apartments. Some of them still are, even to this day. In apartments, the manager of the apartments had changed several times, but the management really wasn't respecting the tenants. I mean, they had been there for years. I mean, so things were broken down. They weren't fixing because they just knew they weren't. They'd been there so long, they hadn't even respect. And it sucked for me to see them like that. I was disappointed, you know, filling, caving in, leaking. I mean, these kind of things, you know, and just couldn't even get them to fix them. And our pioneers living in conditions like that. Those kind of things was bothering us, so we really wanted to do something to facilitate that. But we didn't have a lot of money, so we had to really get spun up on a whole lot of things. Allah blessed us. It was a fish place adjacent to the school property, and we also we had put the museum, the American Islamic Heritage Museum. It was not a museum until that building. It was just a traveling exhibit.
Okay.
But we had conversations with the curator, and Allah blessed us to go ahead and allow them. We subsidized it at 80%, you know. But we weren't making no money off of it. We were putting money into the building, trying to keep it up. And the other building, we had a family counseling center that had over 90 counselors in it. In the other building right beside it. So that was productive, you know. But still. Maintenance issues we had to deal with also. And then the guy that had a fish place right beside our property, he was selling his property. But it was a technical issue. There was a technical issue with the easement between their property and our property. And get it, now we see at a lot of cost that it happened because we ended up getting that property because of that technical issue. And we got the property. We got a piece of property. So that allowed us now to broaden our footprint. And we saw, obviously, that, you know, we paid about $800,000 for the property. And, of course, once we got it, it was worth about $1 million or so, right? So, again, we were looking to see what we can do, where we can build. We need to get some more property somewhere. We still didn't have any money. We were trying to get money. We also needed to expand the masjid. The masjid is old. I mentioned those, but it's old because, you know, we're the oldest community here in D.C., so the masjid, you know, being built in 59, dedicated in 60, had a lot of issues as well, and we needed to expand, we needed to grow, we needed to upgrade, and those kind of things. But we didn't have any money. And a lot of our things we're talking to, we don't have a lot of money. You know, we got a lot of property that we've inherited, that we had, and we just can't maintain it well, another thing. So we needed money. So whatever we decided to do, we wanted to try to get some funds so we can improve the property and kind of continue to progress in the city and do something for our pioneers. So just to kind of shorten this a little bit, as we were inquiring about the affordable housing for senior citizens, which was almost it was almost 100% that the city would finance a project like that, you know. But again, we wouldn't get any money up front out of that deal to do a deal like that, and we'd still be hurting financially, and it would take some time to begin to get money out of a deal like that. And we didn't have any money for the match, but we had other properties on Islamic Way, you know, the street that we're on is Islamic Way. We have other properties. We have apartment houses there. We needed to pay some of them off. We needed, you know, to restructure some things. And, again, so we had to really find a way to leverage all of our assets in a way that can help us move forward with some of the things we wanted to do, such as build. Bill wanted to expand the mesh, and we want to put some kind of housing up. We want to have businesses. Those are the things we wanted to do. So as we continued to explore, then we began to got that property, and the community knew us. And other things came. We were looking at veterans housing. We were looking at just a affordable piece, and we were looking at doing three scenarios, senior housing and veterans housing, and then the element low-income piece. We looked at this, that just gave you an idea how things evolved, you know, over time. And then again, still money, getting money out of the deal, and trying to structure it a certain way. And then you had to have a partner because we didn't have any money, so we had to have a partner that had some money and that it could get money, you know. Because again, you know, our books wasn't as strong enough to get big loans. We can get loans, but not big loans, you know, because, you know, you got the community that we have, you know, people making donations. Sometimes it's not enough for the bank, you know, to support paying a big loan back. And so those were challenges that we had. So just to kind of speed it up a little bit, you know, after going through several partners, we've gone through maybe five partners or got to the fifth one, structuring things a different way. And we've always wanted to do something where we can get money up front to help expand the mesh shed and do some things. So Allah blessed us with a dynamic strategy. We had to shape it a different way, but we always focused on doing something for pioneers and doing something that had a legacy on the backs of the pioneers would be proud of, you know, continue to build upon profit. Because obviously the properties that we had in Southeast as well as the masjid were on the backs of those that came before us. That's the start for us. And most of the communities we have property that our community that was on the back of our pioneers. Most of the property that we have right now today, and a lot of our communities across the nation, is on the backs of what our pioneers have put their effort. You know, they sacrificed. They sacrificed.
Yes.
So we definitely want to focus on something. That would be a legacy piece to shed light on us, on our history, and those kind of things. And so we knew we were going to do something because that spot was being known for the Claro. We thought also, Shahid and audience, we thought also about Yaru Mahmoud. Many of the audience might not know about him, but he was an African enslaved in 1752 right here in D.C. He was brought to D.C. in 1752. And what's significant about that is that he was housed. We found out that we brought the property about six decades ago now. I mentioned that we inherited. The deed had the name of his slave masters, the children. The slave master owned the property because he left it to his children, which was the Bill family. And Yaru Mahmoud used to be housed there with the animals in the stable.
Oh, man.
You know? And that very, very same property that we ended up purchasing, not knowing anything about that history. Of course, that came out later as the museum being a part of us as well, begin to look into his life and his history right there in D.C. And also to find out that the ship that brought him over, that slave, and he was a scholar. He was 15 years old when they got him, and he was sharp. But the ship that brought him over was called Elijah. Now, can you imagine that? The ship that brought him over was called Elijah. It was Elijah's community at the time that purchased, when we purchased the property, at that time it was under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
And this, you see how Allah is putting communication things in the way, but we didn't know. We didn't know what was going to happen. But then we thought about adding him in, but to add him in would have put some restrictions because that would have put a serious historical element on it, you know. historical preservation, which would have really restricted what we could do. So we opted not to do that right now. So we did opt to do something with the Clara. And, of course, obviously the conversations came up, the school. We know we weren't going to do a school, but Sister Clara Muhammad, we didn't want to limit her. She's not to be limited. And the audience should know she's not to be limited to a school. We know that her son, Imam Dr. Muhammad, named the schools after her. But her contribution was more than just that. You know, she was real strong. Obviously, was strong as a homemaker, and the strong keeping her family, and making her family healthy with the children, with her husband. You know, she's the one that took her husband to Farad. You know, we understand. So we know family. So we wanted that to be a part of it, and also food. She loved to cook. And then business. These are things. Those are three things. Even beyond the school, we knew that we could honor her, first of all, the site, having been to school, but also knowing that we weren't going to school, we were going to build something also to pay tribute to a broader spectrum of her, too, in terms of homes and families, because families and homes will be in this building.
There's going to be,
if people don't know, there is a cooking training facility in this building and paying tribute to her, and teaching people how to cook and how to eat good. So that's in the Claros, you know, and also do for self, the concept of business and those kind of things. The first level is again, 100% business. The museum, the restaurant, and the offices, the business offices, all that Muslim. No non-Muslims there. We were trying to focus on that. And out of time, then we had to structure the deal in a way that get money out front. And so all this was a part of us getting to where we want to go. And it took some time and some strategy, but we were able to get millions out. We were able to get millions out to help us get ready to expand, you know, Masjid Muhammad, which is we call the Nation's March now. And, of course, you know, those who don't know, this is the first mosque in Washington, D.C. The first mosque built from the ground up, first of all, by American citizens. That's one thing people should know. There's no mosque that was built from the ground up in America by American citizens before that one. But nobody thought about that, because all the other ones, the one that was built in Cedar Rapids, Idaho, Iowa, the one that was built in North Dakota, South Dakota, the Dakotas, they were built by migrants who hadn't had citizenship status. And they were local, small community. This was built as a part of a national. It was the first one also built from the ground up, a part of a national aspiration, a part of a national movement, right? So it ended up being, you know, under Abdullah Muhammad's leadership, but you know he didn't know at the time, because he wasn't maybe looking at the landscape and understood that that's what was really happening. But you know, he took an umrah in the '50s. We understand, and when he came back, halfway Muhammad said that his father told him when he came back from that umrah in the late '50s, he said we need to have mosques like they have, because they weren't called mosques before then. It was called the Holy Temples of Muhammad's Holy Temples. So anyway, so he came back. He told his son, and I have it, and he said, we need to have mosques like they have over there. And he said, I want the first one to be in Washington, D.C. And so it happened. It was called Muhammad's Mosque. You know, and that's what it was called. So this was the first. So it has a lot of history there. That legacy piece is also there. So we needed to expand it now. It hadn't had anything done. It's going down. It needs some significant upgrades. You know, because most of the community, they didn't have a whole lot of contractors like we have now, big contractors. The members mainly did that building. So we needed to put some heavy investment. And we've grown. So we structured the Clara in a way. We wanted the deal to be in a way that we set it. The vision was to be to keep legacy, because again, this was all stuff the pioneers had done, and we wanted to build upon that. We wanted to embrace that. We inherit their hopes. We inherit their dreams. We inherit their aspirations. You know, and everything we're trying to do. So we wanted to make sure that we carried that in what we did. And we wanted to have everything designed to continue to progress that forward, in what we were doing. So the structure of the deal, and I mean, we're trying to help other communities now that want to do something similar to kind of benefit the way we did, whereas they can get significant monies up front to help with other things that they may want to do with the message or whatever the case might be. That's actually – look, I want the audience to understand this. That property, we were getting offers for $2 million, $2.5 million. I think $2.5 million was the highest offer we had gotten to buy the property outright, Shahid. And of course that was we were looking at what we can do with that. We got other property to fix up. We can sell it. That was attractive here in D.C. You know, for us in particular community, yeah. Like ours, didn't have a lot of money at all. Attractive, but again, our strategy was if we sold that, then we're not going to have any land, and we're not going to have a place, and then we got to build something. Then we're going to take away. So we had to be very strategic, and Allah blessed us to be able to find a way to keep the property, sell the property.
Yeah.
And keep it at the same time,
yes.
You know, and that's what we're trying to help other communities do it. Now, how do you sell it, but also keep it, and then on to it. And look, the audience should know that Allah blessed us to sell the property for more than what we would have sold it for outright,
mm-hmm.
and keep
mm-hmm.
it at the same time.
And keep
Isn't
it.
That something?
You know, Brother Imam, I tell you, you really have given us a background in even the incentives, the motivation, and what is really resonating with me, I'm quite sure our radio listening audience, in terms of the importance and significance of our pioneers, the hard work, dedication, commitment, even what you have even today, and the preservation of the legacy, I think that's so invaluable, what it is that you've stated thus far. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a small pause for the cause here. And when we come back, you know, want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the roundtable a very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Talib Sharif, and also Fitcher Muhammad. And tonight's topic is on the clear. We got an excellent background in terms of this vision and all that started many, many years ago, and now it's come to a reality and all. And so we want to, when we come back, we want to look at an update. Where is the clear? What's going on with it? And all, and so when we come back, we're going to engage our sister Fitcher Muhammad to give us some information in regards to that. So if you have any questions or comments, I'm asking you now to press 1 to line up questions, comments, or what. And we have to look at this as ours. This is so very, very important as a community. And so even contributions or what, we should want to come and bring our children and all to see this. I plan on coming back to Washington, D.C., myself and all, because this is historic, as Imam Talib Sharif has given that information in terms of the nation's mosque being built by Americans with the money coming from those who were followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we're going to ask you, please, stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the cause.
Brother Mark, Sister Fitcher said she had to go, so Brother Ma'am, you're on your own. Okay.
Okay. That's okay. He can handle it. Hey, come on, Rashid.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, nothing more. I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over. Wrapped in God's love, covered all over. A woman truly worthy of, covered all over. From head to toe, dressed by God above. Could ask for anything more. Out of all the women, you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love.
Mm-hmm. And we're back, and I am Mark Shahi, the host of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we have as our very distinguished guest, Imam Talib Sharif, the resident imam of the Nation's Mosque there in Washington, D.C. Want to thank Rashid Salam for that selection, covered all over. I think about the Honorable First Lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Muhammad, how much she meant to us, as you just heard Imam Talib Sharif talk about her early on. She did so many things behind the scenes in the contributions that she made, and I think it's appropriately named in terms of this venue, the Clara. How about that? And want to say to our radio listeners, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make to Imam Talib Sharif, please press 1. Those who are listening by way of the internet, if you have a question or comment, you do have to call in to the studio. That number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. I have just been informed that the Fitcher Muhammad had to leave. So we're going to say what Imam Talib Sharif and Brother Imam, before I go to see if there are actually any persons with their hands in the air want to ask a question, make a comment. You gave so much information, and it's valuable, very valuable information, that we actually need, and a lot of things that you said, I know our radio listening audience wasn't aware of, and even myself wasn't aware of some of those things and some of the things I was, but they have to, and they needed and necessary to actually say. So, you know, we always want, you know, our radio listening audience to be patient, and that is something that Allah tells us all throughout the Quran. Be patient and persevere. When you're patient and persevere, always something good is going to come to you. Just wanted to say that. So I do want to ask you this question here, Brother Imam. Where are we right now in the progression of this project? This is a historic project, and I'm just saying I can't wait to go back to Washington, D.C., to actually see it. You, Brother Imam, has said a lot of things in terms of what this project is going to actually house, including, you know, looking at our seniors, our pioneers, business ventures, and all, you know, that will be there. It's got to be a sight to see. Where are we? Where are we with this? Is it now open? Also, the projected dedication that be forthcoming. Talk to us a little bit about that, and from my understanding, that this is just maybe not for the pioneers that's still living and local there. It could be housing for maybe pioneers from other cities and all. Talk to us about that a little bit, Imam Tom Sharif. I'm so very excited about this myself, because I look at this, even though it's in Washington, D.C., and I hope our radio listening audience look at this. This is something, you know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, do something for yourself. We always took great pride in having something of our own. We would go out of our way to patronize our own, starting with Muslims and then African-American people. This is something to behold. Talk to us, Imam Talib Sharif.
And Mark, yes, Fitcher's back.
Oh, Fitcher is back. Okay, so good. Okay, so let me get Fitcher in on this here, in terms of Fitcher. So if you heard what I just said in terms of this project, where are we at right now? Where are we at right now? Completed, almost completed, or what? Dedication. Talk to us about that, Fitcher.
Yes, thank you for having me on. Yes, the project is near completion. And in your statement, just a few minutes ago, you asked regarding whether the apartments are available to those in the city as well as outside of the city, and they are.
Yeah.
We're hoping that Muslims from nationwide who are looking to live in a community with other Muslims will apply for the apartment, and they can. So, yes, the building is, I'm sure Imam Talib said, it's an 81 units. It's luxury, affordable. We have a state-of-the-art, there's a state-of-the-art gym in the building. There are washers and dryers on every floor. And, yes, the building is open to anyone who qualifies to live there, and we certainly are encouraging that more Muslims would apply.
So, you know, obviously I want you to, if you're prepared to give that type of information, very, very important, because I know there will be interest for Muslims, and especially, like you say, those who qualify, so that they can get that information. Probably wouldn't have, we wouldn't have time to do that tonight, given the time. But where can they go to find out information, and those who are interested, and to see in terms of their qualification? If you could give us that information, Fitcher.
They can email theclaradc@gmail.com to request an application.
Okay.
And once the application process is opened, they will be notified where they can send their application in order to apply for a unit.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, too, because I know it's probably a question on maybe many of our senior citizens' mind. Out of those units, are there any subsidized housing there or not?
You mean in the building?
Yes.
The building is...
Or is it just affordable when you say,
affordable? Well, you know, because it is a state-of-the-art building, And all of the amenities are, you know, of high grade. We don't want to refer to the building as that it's a low income building, because it isn't. It's a luxury affordable building,
okay,
meaning that the rents are lower than what the standard is in D.C.
Okay.
But the building is comparable to any other high luxury building. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know,
okay,
we want to be
that's
very – go ahead. Sure.
No. That's I'm glad that you made that very, very clear, you know, in that regard. You know, and in comparative to what you would get in Washington, D.C., the competitive pricing for luxurious apartment with the amenities and all of that. So it's a rate. I'm quite sure you have one bedroom, two bedrooms, or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, we do. 1, 2, and 3. Studio, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, I think. But, ma'am, that's right. Is that correct? We have from a studios to 3 bedrooms?
That is correct. No, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, so that, you know, there's a lot of diversity there in terms of the housing, you know, still got family or what, you know, you got from studio, 1 bedroom, 2 bedroom, up to 3 bedrooms and all. So you can get that information, and we'll have, you know, Fitcher to give that information again, you know, before, you know, we conclude, where you can get all the answers to some of the questions that we won't be able to ask tonight. So, Rashid Salam, before, you know, we come to you, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Fitcher, in terms of what's the projection on the completion and also the projection on the dedication of the Clara. I know it's going to be a big thing in D.C.
Well, a date is being determined as we speak. And
okay,
so, I mean, we're expecting that in the next 30 to 60 days that the Clara, there will be a dedication and that the Clara will be open. So we're not talking, you know, any long time await.
Okay.
So anyone who's interested in living at the Clara, they need to make their interest known by, again, emailing theclaradc@gmail.com so that we can make sure that they get an application. So, the next 30 days, there will be an announcement as to a firm date for the dedication.
Okay. And so, you know, that's why I want to, you know, be abreast of that, so we can actually maybe get a representative of yourself back again. And then one other question I want to ask before we see if we have any callers that have their hands up, want to ask a question or make a comment or something of that sort. In terms of, I know that there are going to be businesses, as Imam Talib has said, openings for business. What if might have business venture in mind. Application for that or field up or what? How are we looking, Fitcher?
Well, the commercial part of the building has been completed. So we have tenants of businesses that will be opening. As the Imam referenced, the museum will be there. There's going to be a restaurant inside of the Clara, the CDC, the Community Development Corporation, will be there, which will be providing community services and planning events for the community. And there's also a social hall And I think that the last conversation, that there would be a library, some kind of reference that, you know, where the tenants can come and socialize. So the first level, the imam referenced, the first level is complete. It's there's no, you know, we didn't have a lot of space, but we used all the space that we had in order to either accommodate commercial properties or units for housing. Housing in D.C. is a shortage of housing, affordable housing in D.C. They're building a lot of housing, but, you know, the many people can't afford to live there.
Yes.
So this building is making it possible that people like myself can live in luxury at affordable rates.
Affordable rates. I'm glad you put an emphasis on that, and that should actually pique the interest, raise the eyebrow, if you will, for those, yes, that affordable luxury living at a very reasonable rate. I got to ask this question, and I'm asking this question like an attorney. One of the things they teach you in law school, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to, but I think I have to ask this question, need to ask this question to you, already knowing the answer and listening to Imam Talib Sharif in terms of the vision and that was had for this project and the legacy and all what our pioneers have done and worked and struggled for. If you were a non-Muslim, could they fill out an application?
Absolutely.
If they met the qualifications?
Yeah, absolutely. Question. The building is open to anyone who wants to live at the Clara, who wants to live in a decent environment, safe. Luxury. You know, homelessness is a result of people being unable to pay the rent. So this building is making it possible for people who can't afford to live in what is being built in D.C., they can stay. So, yes, anyone who wants to live at the Clara, can apply.
Okay.
There's no discrimination.
Okay. Gotcha. I just wanted to ask that question just so for clarity.
But any other legal questions you ask, please ask it to Imam Talib Sharif.
Well, I do want to add.
Disclaimer. We have a disclaimer on here, so, you know, but, you know, we want to ask those who would be in the know. That's why, you know, I invited, you know, both of you. Imam Talib, do you have something that you'd like to say before we see if we got any hands in the air?
Yes, sir. Not only can they apply, we are encouraging them to apply. Yes. Again, you said it.
But we want to. But we want to get this information out to our community first and foremost. That's why you're here. You're here to get this information out to our community first and foremost. And I'm glad that you answered it with clarity in regards to that, because you never know who's listening. They say, oh, this is just for Muslims only. Okay, no, not just for Muslims only. Can't discriminate in that regard.
But we want, because this is a
Muslim Islamic platform that we have here with IWDM Radio. This is what we try to provide the information for our community first and foremost in that regard. But it's not closed to those who are non-Muslim. And I'm going to repeat what Fisher Muhammad has said, who want to live in a very luxurious way that is affordable for our senior citizen. Rashid Salam, do we have any hands in the air? Or do you have a question, comment?
My question requires too much. I'm thinking about how to get the next one up. But we don't have any hands at this particular time. Nope.
Surprising. Yeah, so maybe people just listen informed or what, you know, in that regard. But so, Rashid, you said you had a question, or you said you just
I'm thinking futuristically. I mean, I hear what she said. When you say luxury and affordable in the same word, we need about four or five more of those very, very quickly. So my thought would be, what are the plans for the future? You know, because I've been in real estate and banking for years, you know, so I know the importance throughout this country. No matter where I go, housing is a big issue. So that was the only question I had. It's not a question. It's just a, you know,
no,
if you want to answer it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Any one of you, Fetra? I mean, I think Imam Talib did say something in terms of this could actually be a model in the willingness, you know, to help other cities. And what it was that you all were able to put together, this should be shared. And we need more than one Clara, obviously.
No doubt.
We're talking about East Coast. We need something mid-Atlantic. We need something in the Midwest, something in the Southeast. Southwest, Northwest, Northeast. I mean, talk to us about that. Anything futuristic, the question is.
Yes, sir. No, I certainly appreciate that kind of thinking, which is certainly the kind of thing we got to have, and that's the case. In fact, as we're speaking, there are others. I won't mention them, you know, unless they want to. So, but we've been meeting with others in the community who have similar situations, and of course, you know, the laws are different in every state and those kind of things. But we do have national organizations that can assist you in looking at things, and even in fact, we got a grant early on from one of the national organizations, $25,000 grant to help us position ourselves to do what we've done, and I can connect you with that organization. My dear sister is also very instrumental in that organization, too. It's called ECP, but we have direct relationship with the president and others of that country, of that company. But they helped us out early on, you know, when we first getting started out, to make sure that we would have everything in place to do what we're able to do. Because you got to have a great the infrastructure has to be sound, you know, to do something like this. And ours weren't where it needed to be, but they helped us get it to where it needed to be. So that's why we're able to do this now. Because they had help, and we're appointing others to that help. But even aside from that, our dear brother, I can't remember his name, that just made that point. We're hoping that those like him in that kind of industry and others will form a partnership and do these things across the nation to help other communities. There are different models, different ways to do it. Our circumstances, but we also see other ways it can be done now. There are other ways it can be done. We have no experience in the area, but we're learning. We're still learning. You know, we've learned a lot, and we're still learning. But we're already seeing ways that we can eliminate some other things and bring in other areas to create more revenue for communities. Having gone through the process at this point. So we're hoping that our brother, who's in the industry, real estate, et cetera, will get other informed partnership, and we can do just that. All of us, I'm finding that many of us, as I mentioned before, in a lot of our communities, we have property that we have on the backs of our pioneers that we just don't have a lot of money. You know, we know our membership has been reduced in a lot of places. You know, we don't have a lot, you know, so the funds are not there in a lot of cases. So we need different ways to look at things in terms of how to make productive that we did inherit, you know.
That's right.
And there are ways to do it. So I hope those who are listening would think about what we're saying about creating some type of a partnership entity, those that have some of the expertise, and look at that. And, again, you know, meet with myself and others and who know, and I can point them to the institutions that we've been involved with. There are others that we've been involved with, and we can kind of meet and find some different ways. To focus on, you know, we got a Clara here. I mentioned the reason why we focus on the Clara, but this is a legacy. I want the audience to know that the mayor of D.C. said that there has never been this type of project done before, where the Muslim community have put up a legacy project that's open to the whole city, in the way this has been done. And she said tourism is good in D.C., but this is going to help it. Because really, even the Clara itself is also going to be a
although a museum is going to be in the building on the first level, mm-hmm. the building itself, the intent is that it will be a museum too. Every floor will have our history on it. We have Fitcher did a program time ago asking for those across the country in our community to send in certain arts and different things reflective of our life here in America to be on the floor, on the wall, those kind of things, on every floor, you know.
That's outstanding. That is something worth coming to see and everything. And you know, when I see that it suffices, you know, many needs of the, not only the community there in Washington, D.C., and to have luxurious, affordable living, as Fitcher is saying, but also opportunities for entrepreneurship and a return. I mean, you look at it in terms of a well investment for a good return, so other things can actually ignite other things in the community there. And of course, we want the radio listeners to know that it's just not happening only because this is in Washington, D.C., like you have some magic wand or whatever. You know, it's about the communication. It's about the information and everything. And as Imam Sharif, you're saying, it's a learning process. You know, you grew all the way through this. And so the experience can and should be shared with others that actually are ambitious, such as the community there, to have something comparable in every major city. That should be the goal of those that actually are listening. Rashid, you was trying to say something there for a moment.
No, I was fine. I mean, I was as an ECT, I think on Fitcher's program, I think he had mentioned some group like that I was interested in getting with, because that's what I'm doing currently on energy-efficient housing in our community, so forth and so on. So I would love to have an opportunity to talk with them.
I mean, that.
ECP. Go ahead, Fitcher. Go ahead.
I was going to just say that it's very important, I think, that areas have to assess what their circumstances is. In D.C., as Imam Talib referred, we had property that needed to be developed because it wasn't bearing any income, and it was a burden on the community because we had to still maintain it. I mean, you have projects coming up in Detroit where they're purchasing houses that already exist and renovating them. So you have different projects coming up across the nation. But what's important is that, I mean, and then the other part of it, I mean, because the vision started out exclusively for seniors. We had had a senior that was hit by a bus, and she transitioned. And we have a large population of seniors that take public transportation to get to the masjid. So the inspiration was, what could we do to create a situation for our seniors that was safe for them and accommodating, because they're the most vulnerable. So, I mean, you know, different areas across the nation, they have to assess what their circumstances are, because what our circumstances are might be different from theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
But the need for housing is everywhere.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That's a commonality. Actually, we have a similar situation here in the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis. The need for luxurious, affordable housing, I would say that's a common thread that's running through all of the major cities, where we have pioneers you know, all the mosques and temples under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, and even those who came after in terms of the transition with Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's a common thread, affordable housing. And also make business opportunities. I see a commonality that's there, but I see the diversity in terms of what you all are saying in terms of how you can do it. It's not just one set model, but obviously having gone through something, when you go through something, you get experience. You might learn something and say, boy, I wish I had known that. I don't know if you had those type of moments or whatever, you know, in that regard. But that is something that can be a shared experience in terms of that. And each state, the autonomy of each state in terms of the laws and all that, you have to take that into consideration. But there's a common thread that most all of these major cities have in terms of not having affordable housing. This is a topic on a national scale in terms of, you know, having senior buildings for our own, doing something for self, going back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the extension of his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is a common thing. It's not an isolated thing. You know, we have seniors here. Do we have a luxurious, affordable housing for them? No. And I would dare say if we took a poll across the country, I guarantee you, if it had happened, we would know. We would know.
Right.
You know, we would actually know, Fitcher. We would know. This is why it's so important to let people know what is actually going on in Washington, D.C. This is historic. And we should feel good about it, and we thank Allah for what is happening there. But it also serves as inspiration and motivation for us as a community. If it can be done in Washington, D.C., it can be done elsewhere. And then we can summon the help of those of you who have gone through it. It makes it a lot easier. When you're pioneering something, it's a little bit more difficult when you're pioneering than it is, I mean, after, you know, those who come behind, because we can do that mutual consultation, Amarhun, Shurubainahun, and get that consultation from those who have experienced it. So, Rashid Salam, if we don't have any callers, we're right at the top of the hour, a little over, but this is, to me, have been very, very informational, educational to myself and also those who tune in and listen in. So I'm going to give both of you a couple of minutes for any parting remarks. And Fitcher, I would like for you once again to give that information, because it's not just only for those who are living in the Washington, D.C. area, that this may be a dream come true. I know, you know, as a pioneer myself, you know, I know many that the conversation, oh, boy, what, we should have something for the pioneers. This is a common talk. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know across the country. The pioneers really want somebody. Now, can they actually transition and make a move like that? Maybe some, maybe not. But we want them to know that that is available. So going to give both of you a couple of minutes. I'm going to start with you first, Imam Sharif, in terms of giving you a couple of minutes of any parting remarks you'd like to leave with our radio listening audience here, IWDM. And then we'll give Fitcher Muhammad the last word. And please, Fitcher, if you would, to give that the website where they can go to if they choose to apply and all in regards to that, they'll be able to do so. Brother Imam?
Thank you. Again, I certainly appreciate you. I certainly appreciate you listening to the audience. And, of course, just being on IWDM, just the sound of that, IWDM radio. I mean, that's
that
just,
sounds
that's,
good, too, though.
Yeah, it sounds so good. I mean, you know, just, that's a pleasure. That's one of the pleasures that we have to hear that, and we're very grateful. I do want to say this. Our brother mentioned something earlier. I think you alluded to this too, Shay.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say seven, that there are more Muslim businesses on this project, but seven in particular Muslims that are generating now around, they weren't generating in the millions of dollars. But this project was probably 40-plus million, you know. We kind of rounded off to 50. But they are generating revenues now in the millions that they weren't doing before because of a project like this. And we have made a commitment to help any of the Muslims that were qualified. And if they weren't qualified, we had assigned someone to help them do what they needed to do to get qualified. We had someone, in fact, we paid somebody to help Muslim companies that wanted to be involved, that weren't qualified, try to help them get qualified. So the seven in particular are involved in this project, and they're doing, income level that they weren't doing previously because of projects like this right here, as well as helping out in the African-American community. So this project allowed us to produce what we call a CBA, a community benefits agreement,
mm-hmm.
to show what the benefits would be to the community, being able to hire we're in the marginalized area of the city, so to hire from that area companies, businesses, and people to be employed, not just to work on the project, but also to be employed in the project, because you got to have staff in the building itself doing certain things too. But we were able to do that. So this project helps get more income into our business hands, so they can better help support the community. They can better help support money in the community because we're getting projects like this together to generate the kind of money that communities need to help get businesses so they can give to the community. We need to think about that. Sister Fitcher is going to give you more information. She's going to give you the website. But I do want to also say that it's not just for application. She's going to give you the email address where if you have a question beyond the show.
Yes.
Not just for the application, but if you have a question, you can send that question to her as well at that email address. So she'll get that information to you. Also, but it's just an honor to be with you, honor to be with our audience, and we pray that we share something, and we look forward to in the future being able to make a contribution and also benefiting ourselves from the programming that you have on the broadcast. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam Tyler Sharif. It's always a pleasure to have you on and with us. Fitcher Muhammad, you got the last word. In terms of what you want to leave our radio listening audience and also that information, those who have questions, as Imam Tyler said, and want to apply and all, give us all what you got, if you would, Fitcher.
Well, I really think everything that needs to be said has been said, that, you know, the reality is that there's a lot of growth and prosperity that is happening across the nation in our community. And, you know, D.C. happens to be in a unique position because we sit in the capital of the United States of America. And so, you know, the expectation upon us, you know, I remember Imam Muhammad said that good competition is healthy. You have a lot of thriving organizations, a lot of thriving religious entities. And, you know, we can't afford in Washington, D.C. To not be at the table. We just can't afford that. And I don't think any of us in this community can afford it. But in Washington, D.C., the level of professionalism, the level of achievement, the bar is high. And so all we're doing is stepping up. All we're doing is performing. All we're doing is doing what we know how to do.
Yes.
And it is the environment here that really inspires us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you have, you know, other religious organizations building homes, there's no reason why we can't build as well for our community.
Come on,
so, That's all I want to say. I want to just, again, invite everyone, anyone who's listening who may have a question about the Clara, living at the Clara, you can certainly write theclaradc@gmail.com. Again, it's theclaradc@gmail.com. And so being in the nation's capital, it is absolutely incumbent upon us to perform to the best of our ability.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Fincher. And I'm glad that you said that, because that halal competition that makes us all grow. So I want you to know that really appreciate both of you. Both of you have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio always. Open door policy to come back, be here with me on the MGM Roundtable, and keep me apprised of when that big day come, ribbon cutting dedication. It's a historic thing that's happening in Washington, D.C., and I'm so elated, as if and though I was right there in Washington, D.C. You know, I want to just say to you, Fitcher, and also to you, Imam Talib, you know, being in the Nation of Islam in the 60s, Allah blessed me to come in. It was such a feeling to be in a community where we had our own, that's, it's almost indescribable for those who may not have been in the time of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But just think how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Muhammad, would feel in knowing this. How do we think that Imam Waqiuddin Muhammad would actually think and feel in terms of this accomplishment? We could almost answer for them in that regard. So this is no small, this is no small thing, and everything. So keep me apprised of what's going on here, and then we can get an update and let the people know, because I know it's going to be a real grand opening, such a dedication that many of our people will be coming into Washington, D.C. to actually witness. You know, it's no more than just to say I was there, you know, at the dedication of the Clara. So I want to thank both of you all. Did an outstanding job in terms of disseminating the information that we want to get out to our radio listening audience across the nation and everything. And we appreciate you, and we appreciate the work that is going on there. Be sure to give the believers the greetings from us here at IWDM Radio. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum. There you have it. Tonight, this completes broadcasting here on IWDM Radio with the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Special thanks go out to Fitcher Muhammad and also Imam Tyler Sharif, the resident imam there at Masjid Muhammad, the first masjid, the first mosque, as it said, the nation's mosque that was built there almost 85 years ago under the leadership of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Fitcher Muhammad, very well known in this community as the founder and also the executive producer of Study Al-Islam, great contributions she's made over the years in terms of helping to educate our community in this way of life in terms of Al-Islam, but also in terms of our leadership and our legacy in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Muhammad, Imam Waqiuddin Muhammad, and all, and the beat goes on. I want to say that the beat does go on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Thursday. So that means that it's the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which your host, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We ask that you tune in. We'll make a little change for tomorrow, but it's always going to be informational education educational to tune in, and we will be on the True Love Recipe. So tune in for that, and like for your involvement in the True Love Recipe. It's a personal True Love Recipe of mine, but you know how recipes are. You may have something as an ingredient, a quality, a characteristic that I don't have. So we do welcome that for any deletions, any addendums, or any modifications as I bring to you my True Love Recipe. And you will be asked that question, would this be in your True Love Recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a True Love Recipe? And Friday is Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. And those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can tune back into IWDM Radio with the Imam Michael, a.k.a. Bakel Sai here. This is each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And now we got the seventh-day feel. And once again, it's the very distinguished theme, Imam Mikhail Sayer, Muslim Book Club. Yeah, you heard it right, the Muslim Book Club. And the first publication, we just got through talking about the Clara, but it's a two-volume book that was authored by our beloved educator extraordinaire, Dr. Zakia Muhammad. And it was completed by IMAS. And what is that publication? It's the publication of the Honorable First Lady and Mother, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of Our Nation. This is a book of books. It's a two-volume book that once you pick it up, you won't be able to put it down. It will capture your attention all the way through. So this is the first book in the Muslim Book Club that is being read and also being reviewed. So we ask that you tune in each and every Saturday. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Sunday, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? That's part of the theme in this year's 2023, Time to Be Grateful, to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. But this happens each and every Sunday, once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer, Words Make People. It happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, the very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a production called ABC, and that stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. Yeah, you can have a lot of conversations, but are they Al-Islam-based conversation? Here you can have opportunity to tune in, to listen in terms of a variety of topics with Imam Nazim Pasha. It happens each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Tuesday, the very distinguished Rashid Salam, he also brings back his honored guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, as they host an outstanding production, The Science of Your Health and You Learning. Yeah, I said The Science of Your Health and You Learning, because we are creation, we are science, and also how do we maintain and sustain that healthy body that Allah has given to us, that healthy mind, having a healthy mind and disposition, emotionality, rationality, intellect, spirituality, all of that, and even more, each and every Tuesday. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, The Science of Your Health in You Learning Lab with our very distinguished host, Rashid Salam. Wednesday, which is today, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Odine, and yours truly, join together for each and every Wednesday, along with Rashid on the first Wednesday each and every month, as you heard him earlier today. And we share our insight and wisdom on what correct parenting is from an Islamic base, and also how to reconstruct a destructive family life. It starts and happens each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And following that, we just heard it live, the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where yours truly, we like to bring each and every Wednesday very distinguished, esteemed host, as you just heard tonight, in Imam Talib Sharif and Fitra Muhammad, those in our community, outside of our community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It happens each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, we ask that you, as IWDM, we do endorse, encourage you to support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of this community for many, many, many years. Please keep up your subscription if you have the wherewithal. Make it a gift for a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. So please make sure you go to the Muslim Journal and also get registered for this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. Don't be there. Please be there. Don't get it secondhand, as I'll be looking for you. You see somebody stumbling, bumbling around, that'll be me. So make sure you come up and give me the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. So we want to thank everybody, our radio listening audience, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio. And a special thanks go to my engineer extraordinaire, that's Rashid Salam, and to my very honored and distinguished guest, Imam Talib Sharif, the resident imam of the nation's mosque, and also Fitra Muhammad, the founder and the executive producer of Study Al-Islam. So until next time, Islam is for you and yours. God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. This is entertainer extraordinaire, Jawar Elamine. Assalamu alaikum.